Hey, Norm Lewis. Hey, thanks for joining us on WTOP again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, we spoke, gosh, I guess like a year or so ago when you came to Signature Theater for Simply Sondheim. So I invite our listeners, if you want to hear all about, the Five Bloods and Chadwick and all that stuff, check that out in the archives. But today it's all about A Soldier's Play, which is at Kennedy Center only for the rest of this week. So you get your tickets now. Hey, Norm, thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me, man. This is so much fun.
All right. So remind our listeners about A Soldier's Play. I know recently the revival won Tony's, I guess, in 2020. But it originally started back as a Pulitzer Prize winner back in like 82, right? So
it actually started in 81, and it was at the Negro Ensemble company. And won a Pulitzer Prize because it's such a poignant story. It has so many layers to it. It's a murder mystery. If you've never seen it or seen the movie A Soldier's Story, then you'll come there fresh and go, who did it? Who did this? Who did this? But it also dives deep into racism and, the self-hatred within the race, things like that. And so you got to see it because it really has so many different layers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if anyone, I'm glad you mentioned the movie version, too, which I guess they slightly changed the title to A Soldier's Story. But man, Denzel at the very beginning of his career, it's great stuff.
Yeah, truly.
Dive into a little more. I like what you're mentioning about the murder mystery aspect and the fact that it's a sergeant in an all black unit. Sort of similar to like, A Few Good Men, a murder amongst the military. Talk about how it plays out sort of as this as like a gripping mystery where you'll be riveted the whole time trying to figure out, who did it and stuff.
Yeah, well, especially because it does deal with racism and it's in the 1940s. It's World War II, and it's these soldiers who want to go and fight for their country and also feeling themselves to be, if they were to do this and to be hailed as a hero, then maybe they could be a little bit more accepted within the society that hates them so much. And, because back then, there were different water fountains, there were different bathrooms, things like that. So there was this hierarchy among the races at that time. And so these men proudly wanting to fight for their country thought that they would be accepted in a different way. Basically, like I was saying before, it is a murder mystery. It's a whodunit. I don't want to give away too much, but dealing with the racism, there's possibilities of a very racist soldier that might have done it. And then just other aspects of the show that just has layers and layers and layers of gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? Of just... I'm sorry. I'm losing my track of my thought. But basically, if you just come and see the show, you will know that there is you'll leave the theater with more than what you came with.
Awesome. So we get on the surface level, we get a great murder mystery that's entertaining, roller coaster ride. But then beneath the surface, so many layers of social commentary. I mean, it's 1944, a Louisiana Army base. So you're in the South. Gosh, voting rights wouldn't even happen for like another 20 years after this. So it's
right.
a pivotal time in American history. Talk about the writer. It's Charles Fuller, right? What about the actual language and the dialogue? I mean, is there anything you can say about the prose of how he writes it?
Yeah, basically. And you said the right word, prose. It, as I've been diving deep into this show, it is very poetic. There is language that, I say certain things that I normally wouldn't say in my real life. I have to really concentrate on how to say them because it just sounds almost Shakespearean in the way that it's executed. But, there's definitely a lot of language that is PG on up to R rating because, it's a lot of strong language. But I think that's needed and necessary for the story to move along. But Charles Fuller he did a dynamic job on this and obviously winning a Pulitzer Prize for it. But, the more that I've delved into it, the more I find every night.
Absolutely. And tell us about your role in particular. I guess you're captain. Are you Captain Davenport, Richard Davenport?
Yeah, I played Captain Davenport, which is significant because at that time you didn't have a lot of people who were of color, or especially black men who were officers. And this is the highest rank that any of the people on this base has seen. So there's a lot of excitement from the soldiers to see me in this uniform and to be taking care of this case and this investigation. What's interesting as well is that I'm a lawyer, but I am been I don't want to say reduced, but I'm definitely overqualified for the job that I normally do. So this is very exciting, and I'm very eager to try to find out what who did this murder. So I normally work for the military police, but I'm a lawyer, so I this is something that's like I can't wait to just grip my hands into.
Awesome. Well, dish if you can dish on your co-stars a little bit, and try if you could re relate it to the movie roles, their counterparts. Like, I remember, like, Adolf Caesar was Sergeant Waters, and Denzel was Private Peterson, and David Alan Grier was Corporal Cobb. So, like, who plays each of those on stage with you, and you wanna dote on how great your co-stars are?
Yeah, all of this whole ensemble is amazing. We have well, let's start with Eugene Lee, who is playing the role that Adolf Caesar made so famous.
I think Oscar
And
nominated, I think.
yeah, he was. And Eugene actually was in the original company. He was in 1981 as Corporal Cobb in the
Wow.
show. And then he also eventually moved over to Peterson. Who Denzel, he replaced Denzel when Denzel left. Sam Jackson was in the show when it was a play, and David Alan Grier, and he eventually did the movie and did the revival as Sergeant Waters. But anyway, the people that we're talking about, Sheldon, you're catching me off guard now with I know their first names, but sometimes I lose their last
Just say
names.
their first name. And you guys are on a first name basis. You're that
Yeah,
tight.
exactly. So Sheldon is fantastic at playing CJ Memphis, who is the one that's a little slower. He plays the guitar. He actually sings in the show, and he's just does such a fantastic job of playing this character who is so beloved. I feel like this character is the heart and the heartbeat of the whole show. Then you have Will Adams, who is playing Corporal Cobb, who is best friends with CJ Memphis, and he does a fantastic job. That's the role that Eugene Lee played on Broadway, or I'm sorry, at the Negro Ensemble back in 81. Gosh, Tariq is playing Peterson, which Denzel made very famous. The one who is a he's kind of uppity, and he's lived a life that the other ones have not lived. He's lived in Alabama. He's lived in California. Gosh, wow.
I think
Malik.
that's good. That, unless you
Yeah.
want to keep going, I wouldn't
No.
put you on the
I
spot too
mean,
much
the
with
entire
names.
cast is fantastic. They really
Yeah.
are. They really are. It's such an ensemble piece.
Awesome. Now, did you actually see the original '80s version, the Pulitzer Prize, on Broadway, or the revival?
No,
Okay.
unfortunately. I
You're just
was
familiar with
still,
the film.
yeah, I was still in high school, and I didn't get a chance to come up to New York during that time. But I did see the movie, which definitely left an indelible mark on my my psyche, especially because of the actors that were in the movie and the story that was being told. And I loved it, and I've seen it since then as well. I've seen it several times, but I missed the revival just because I was out on the road doing some other stuff. And then we had such a short season that year because of COVID. But eventually they did win some Tonys. I think there was a special Tony Award ceremony that happened in October of 2021. And David Alan Grier won a Tony. I think the show got Best Revival or something like that, or Best Play. But Charles Fuller, he passed away a couple of months ago, and so we really are just honoring him on this tour and making sure that the word gets out because it really is such a significant and very important play.
Wow, that's awesome. And like we said, it started at the Kennedy Center mid-December, but it wraps here on January 8th, which is, I believe, Sunday. So, yeah, Sunday. Yeah. So only a couple of days left, everybody. Get your tickets. Yes. Well, I know I wanted to spend most of the time talking to Soldiers Play, but in case folks missed our last interview, we invite them to go listen to the whole thing. We don't have time now. But just real quick, I don't want to cover too much of the same ground, but remind them of your role, a historic role as the first Black Phantom of the Opera. That was historic, man.
Yeah, I stand on the shoulders of Robert Guillaume, who actually was the first African-American to play the role, but he did it in Los Angeles and I did it. I was the first on Broadway. And I, you know, it made definitely I treasure the fact that I have that title. But what's best for me is that there are opportunities for other people of color to play roles that are universal like that. And in fact, there were two other guys who were hired after me to go on tour, who were African-American. So if I could be that key, that, you know, that symbol for anyone, then I'll take that.
Awesome. Yes. And so many, I mean, you did Tommy and you did Billy Flynn in Chicago and you were King Triton in The Little Mermaid, Les Mis, Phantom of the Opera, Porgy and Bess. There's so much that we could go into. Jesus Christ Superstar. It's been a hell of a stage career. But in terms of on screen, in case they missed it again, just so I have another soundbite on it for this time around, Memories of the Five Bloods, work not only working with Spike Lee in that great ensemble, but you didn't even know Chadwick was sick. I mean,
yeah, he was, you know, he came in and did his thing, and you know, he was just as energetic as we were, and diving and jumping and doing all kinds of things, and we had no idea, we had no clue. And as I may have mentioned this last time, but I just remember seeing him and I said, oh, he's thinner than I thought he would be, just because of the fact that I thought maybe you have to be that thin to look that cut on film.
Right.
But he didn't look sickly. He just looked, you know, in like very much in shape, but just thinner than I thought. I thought he was a lot bulkier. And he looked great and he was laughing and joking and having a good time with us. But all the while he was sick and, you know, he knew it, but we didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Does that make it extra hard for you when, you know, I don't know, watching when the Black Panther, the Wakanda Forever, the new one comes out and, you know, they're paying their respects at the beginning. That's the fact that you got to act with him in the last couple months there. Is it harder to watch stuff like that for you?
It is. It's yes and no. So it is kind of bittersweet. I mean, the thing is, I cherish and treasure the time that I got to work with him. It was such a short time, but I did get to, you know, commune with him and have a good time. And I will always, always treasure that. But it does signify that, you know, we only have a little time on this earth. We have an expiration date. So it just kind of makes you more aware of what you have to do in life and the way that he lived his life. I think that that's also and a way to like treasure and honor him and try to live up to what he did, because he lived a very graceful life and he did a lot of things behind the scenes for people. And but, you know, he didn't want anyone to like definitely feel sorry for him or anything. So I admire that.
Well, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. And yeah. in terms of the rest of the ensemble there, do you stay in touch with Delroy Lindo or Clark Peters, Isaiah Washington, Jonathan Majors, or even Spike? Like, do you guys have sort of like a brothership that has, you know, lasted even in the years since you made that movie?
Yeah, we do stay in touch. You know, it's not every day, but we definitely do stay in touch and send each other greetings and stuff and just checking on each other. I'm so, so proud of Jonathan. We already knew that he was going to blow up, but wow, he's a megastar now. So, I can't wait to see more from him. And, you know, I might knock on his door and say, hey, don't forget me. You know, maybe I can play your dad or something.
he'll bank you Lovecraft Country 2 or something. He'll bring
there you go. There you go. I'll be an extra. I'll be an extra.
No, but seriously, I remember him in The Last Black Man in San Francisco. It was probably the first I saw him in. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this guy's great. Then the harder they fall, Devotion, all the rest. But anyway, yes. But it's been a remarkable career, and I could talk to you all day, but we got to cut you loose because you got a show to get ready for tonight.
It's been wonderful talking to you again, though. I appreciate this.
Absolutely. We'll do it again sometime. Norm Lewis, thanks so much for doing this again. It's a soldier's play. It's at the Kennedy Center now through Sunday. So only a couple days. Get your tickets. Hey, thank you, sir.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Thank you.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Bye.